Welcome to the Less Wrong Curated podcast, Using Access Lines for Good or Evil by Dynomite, published on the 7th of March, 2024. This is a Less Wrong Curated post, so I've human narrated it. If you like my work doing that, you can support it on Patreon at patreon.com/lwcurated. It's a link post for dynomite.net/axes. Say you want to plot some data. You could just plot it by itself. So here's a line that dips and then comes back up slightly. It doesn't have any axes marked. It's just floating in space. Or you could put lines on the left and bottom. So correspondingly, we have some axes, although they're unlabeled and don't have any numbers on them. Or you could put lines everywhere. Now the same curve is inside a box. Or you could be weird. Now there's an axis on the right-hand side and then one in the middle, which is at right angles to the axis on the right-hand side. Which is right? Many people treat this as an aesthetic choice, but I'd like to suggest an unambiguous rule. Principles. First, try to accept that all axis lines are optional. I promise that readers will recognize a plot even without lines around it. So consider these plots. We've got a curve, and then again we have a curve, the same curve, but it has a line drawn underneath it. The curve doesn't intersect the line, it's floating above it. Which is better? I claim this depends on what you're plotting. To answer, mentally picture these arrows. So now we have that second picture. It's a horizontal axis with a line floating above it, and we have arrows from different points in the line going vertically down to that axis, showing different length arrows or different heights above the axis. Now ask yourself, are the lengths of these arrows meaningful? When you draw that horizontal line, you invite people to compare those lengths. You use the same principle for deciding if you should draw the y-axis line. Ask yourself if people should be comparing the lengths. So now we have a vertical line drawn with horizontal lines that intersect the same curve in the same orientation at different points. So now those are vertical arrows, which are different lengths. Years versus GDP. Suppose your data is how the GDP of some country changed over time. So the x-axis is years and the y-axis is GDP. So now we just have years marked. There's still no line. It's just years in a row from 1980 to 2020. And we have 3 trillion at the top of the y-axis down to 0 trillion. You could draw either axis or not. So which of these 4 plots is acceptable? So here we have what was just described. We have the numbers, but no lines drawn. Then we have just the y-axis drawn as a line with the numbers still there. We have the just x-axis drawn as a line with the numbers still there. And then we have both drawn with the numbers still there. Got your answers? Here's a key. So all of them have been labeled bad except for the one which has the x-axis as a horizontal line with dates under it and the y-axis no line with floating numbers. That's labeled OK. Why? GDP is an absolute quantity. If GDP doubles, then that means something. So readers should be thinking about the distance between the curve and the x-axis. But 1980 is arbitrary. When comparing 2020 to 2000, all that matters is that they're 20 years apart. No one cares that 2020 is twice as far from 1980 as 2000 because time did not start in 1980. Years versus GDP again. Say you have years and GDP again, except all the GDP numbers are much larger. Instead of varying between $0 and $3 trillion, they vary between $50 trillion and $53 trillion. So now we have the floating numbers again with no lines drawn, years from 1980 to 2020, and now numbers from $50 trillion to $53 trillion. What to do? In principle, you could stretch the y-axis all the way down to zero. So now we have a line drawn for the x-axis and a floating y-axis that goes from 0 trillion to 50 trillion, and the curved line that's been plotted here is almost completely flattened out. It only has a slightly perceptible dip. But that doesn't seem like a good idea. You can barely see anything. Sometimes you need to start the y-axis at $50 trillion. That's fine, as long as you're not using a bar chart. But then the right answer changes. In this case, all of the 4 options have been marked as bad, except for the one that has no lines drawn and just floating numbers. The difference is that $50 trillion isn't a meaningful baseline. You don't want people comparing things like GDP in 1980, $50 trillion, versus GDP in 2000, $50 trillion, because that ratio doesn't mean anything. Years versus temperature. What if the y-axis were temperature? Should you draw a line along the x-axis at zero? If the temperature is in Kelvin, then probably yes. If the temperature is in Fahrenheit, then no. No one cares about the difference between the current temperature and the freezing point of some brine that Daniel Fahrenheit may or may not have made. If the difference is in Celsius, then maybe. Do it if the difference from freezing point of water is important. Of course, if the freezing point of water is critical and you're using Fahrenheit, then draw the line at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. 0 and 1 are the most common useful baselines, but use whatever is meaningful. Rant about the philosophical meaning of zero and one and identity elements in mathematical rings, redacted, at strenuous insistence of test reader. Homeowners versus cannabis. Sometimes you should put lines at the end of axes too. Say the x-axis is the fraction of homeowners in different countries, and the y-axis is support for legal cannabis. So here we have homeowners on the x-axis from 0 to 100, no line marked, just the floating percentages at 0, 50 and 100, and cannabis supporters on the y-axis, again floating percentages from 0 to 100. And it's a scatter plot that seems to follow roughly the same shape as the line we've been using in every other graph. It dips and then kind of flattens out, but now it's made up of lots of different points. Should you draw axis lines? Well, comparisons to 0% are meaningful along both axes, so it's probably a good idea to add these lines. Now we have lines for both the x and y axis. But comparisons to 100% are also meaningful, so in this case you'll probably want a full box around the plot, and we see that here, there are lines encircling the entire plot. Lines can also be used for evil. Lots of people hate the Myers-Briggs personality test, suggesting that you should use a created by academic psychologists test like the Big Five instead. I've long held that this was misguided, and if you take the Myers-Briggs scores without discretizing them into categories, they're almost equivalent to the Big Five without neuroticism or the Big Four. So I was excited to see some recent research that tests this. They had a bunch of people take various personality tests and then rate themselves on 40 life outcomes. For example, how happy they were and how many friends they had. Then they looked at the correlation between personality tests and life outcomes. Here's a table with columns for test and correlation. Big 5, 0.23. Big 4, 0.18. Myers-Briggs scores, 0.15. Myers-Briggs categories, 0.11. And astrology, 0.002. Here, the correlation is an R value. 0 means the test tells you nothing about life outcomes, and 1 means that the test allows you to predict life outcomes perfectly. So this suggests the Big 4 is similar to Myers-Briggs scores, but maybe a little more informative. But we're here to talk about figures, not psychology. So look at how the above numbers were pictured in Scientific American. Here's that image. It says percent accuracy. Now we have a line that ranges from 0 to 30 in increments of 5. And down the 0 end, we have marked no correlation. Starting at 10, we have small correlation. And then around 25 to 30, we have medium correlation. And then each of those results has been plotted as a line that spans from 0 to the point that corresponds with its result, with a dot at the end. So Big 5 scores are a green line that reaches all the way to just under 25. Then Big 4 scores, no neuroticism, reaches to just below 20. Then Myers-Briggs to just over 15. MBTI scale categories to just over 12. And astrological sun signs is just a dot near 0. A final relevant detail is that there are vertical lines that are dotted lines going down from the labels medium correlation, small correlation, and no correlation. That small correlation line is genius. Your eye naturally compares the dots to it, rather than the no correlation line, giving the impression that the Big Four is twice as good as the MBTI. Of course, the difference between a correlation and a small correlation in quotes threshold is not something that anyone could conceivably care about. A plot that follows the rules I laid out here is much less misleading. This plot is almost identical except that the dotted lines have mostly been removed, so for no correlation it goes all the way down the left-hand side like an axis, and then small correlation it just dots down a tiny bit to show where that line would lay. It doesn't go all the way down through the other lines. And same for median correlation. And the big difference when you're looking at this is that you don't really notice that the dot for MBTI style categories is close to the small correlation line unless you're really looking for that. It's sort of grouped mentally with the astrological sun signs more than it is with the Big Five scores, at least in this narrator's opinion looking at it. Related advice. Andrew Gelman advises, if zero is in the neighborhood, invite it in. The idea is that if your plot almost includes zero and zero is meaningful, then extend the y-axis down to zero. He gives this example. Two graphs here. If zero is in the neighborhood, now we have years from 2000 to 2020 on the x-axis and a y-axis that ranges from 5 to 20. There's no zero labeled. It seems like it's just cut off at the bottom. It says invited in. So now we have zero at the origin for the y-axis, with the corresponding lines boosted very slightly. I agree with this advice, though I'm not sure about that vertical line, the axis line for the y-axis. Is time since the Slim Shady LP came out paramount here? And if you don't extend the y-axis to zero, then you shouldn't draw a horizontal line either. So I think this would be better demonstration of the principle. Here, the first graph zeros in the neighborhood doesn't have the zero marked, and there are no access lines. And the second one, invited in, which has the zero at the origin, only has a horizontal x-axis line. Access lines do not equal tick marks. On a related note, see how there are tick marks in the previous plots, even when there are no access lines? You can do that, it's fine. Put tick marks wherever you want. Tick marks are no excuse for access lines. Matplotlib's tragic defaults. Matplotlib is a popular plotting library. Here's an example of using it. We have an array for time. This is a code snippet. It's 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Speed is another array. 1, 0.3, 0.2, 0.1, 0.03, and 0.01. Then the code says plt.plot time, speed, plt.xlabel time in seconds, and plt.ylabel speed in meters per second. The resulting graph has an x-axis for time in seconds and a y-axis for speed in meters per second, and it ranges from 0 to 5 on the x-axis and 0.0 to 1.0 on the y-axis, and there's a full box around the outside. I don't want to quibble with the default of adding access lines everywhere. After all, there has to be some default, and if the right choice depends on the semantics of the data, then you can't expect the plotting library to guess that. Except, I can't not quibble because there's a more serious problem. Do you see it? Here's a little hint. First of all, the origin has been marked. The origin itself is below zero in both cases. It seems like zero is a little bit up the y-axis and a little bit along the x-axis. And it's labeled, does the speed eventually drop to zero? No idea, because look, extra random space. So we notice that visually, by the end of the graph, the speed line is still hovering above the axis line slightly, which gives a misleading impression that there's still a little bit of speed, and you have to be paying very close attention to see that it actually reaches zero. This was an audio version of Using Access Lines for Good or Evil by Dynomite, published on the 7th of March 2024. It's a curated post, so I human narrated it. If you enjoy the work that I do, creating these human narrations, you can support it on Patreon at patreon.com/lwcurated. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you next time.